Witt standing there. You got Kyle Weinbrenner standing there. You got Ralph Simpson standing there. You got Robert Wallace standing there. There's Alex Abien. And these guys are carrying on a conversation, and there's five, six, seven, eight people standing around with their mouth hanging open, just listening and hanging on to every word, trying to learn something, trying to duplicate something, and here comes some oddball up into the crowd, and he wants to put his opinion in. Instead of listening to what's going on, he steps up and says, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and let me explain how I do it. Well, let me tell you something. Who cares how you do it at this point? I'm not trying to be rude. Okay, you got to earn your stripes. It doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter your size. None of that makes any difference, folks. But you got to earn your stripes here on this playing field. What you've done in the past and what you've done, you know, in a prior life or a prior company or what have you, obviously didn't work because you're here. And it obviously it got you to where you're at right now. Okay? So your opinion would be a lot better if you just kind of kept it to yourself and you listened and you were attentive to the speaker that's talking to you. Because what happens is when you walk up and you try to steal the show with that kind of audience, they say, okay. And they just turn around and walk off. Because you know everything you need to know and there's no need for them to stand there and talk to you. They're not interested in trying to learn something from you, and they obviously can't teach you anything because you're talking instead of listening. Okay? So, under listen, folks, here's three or four little points that I would say. Be there and be attentive. Number one, I'm not ragging on you, and my hat goes off to you because you made the decision to be at the leadership conference. Okay? So, it's better than not being there. You did make the decision to be there. But be there, and then here's the second step. Take notes, tape it, and listen. And folks, the last point that I'll say under this one is, don't just listen. Listen with heart. Now, when I say that, that's a major, major difference. Listen with the intent to take the information that you've brought in and do some good with it. Listen with heart. Don't listen with a half-hearted, closed-minded attitude that, oh, I've been there, done that, heard all of this, yeah, that's the, yep, got that, yep, understand that, yep, done that, yep. Okay, next, somebody teach me something. Folks, it ain't going to happen. Nobody's going to be able to teach you anything. You're not opening your mind. You're not coming prepared to receive the message. You know, it's got to be open for you to receive it. So not just listen, not just be attentive, not just take notes, but really pay attention. Now, here's the other thing, folks, when I'm talking about listening and paying attention. These are basics, okay? The convention or the conference, the leadership, the nuggets will be in the meetings while the meetings are going on. After the meetings are going on, it's okay to be in the hallway and it's okay to be talking with somebody. But it's not okay, folks, to be out in the smoking area. I mean, come on now. This is important. We want to teach you how to make, you know, six figures, multiple six figures, seven figures, whatever your goal is. That's what we're there for you to get everything you can get. It's not going to be out laughing and joking in the smoking section with three or four people that are out there to give you their opinion and aren't even wearing rings on their fingers. That's not where you're going to get the nuggets that you need. Okay? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in a hallway even if, okay, even if our key leader is standing in the hallway while the meeting's going on, he's not the key leader you need to be talking to. You need to be in the meeting. You need to be sitting in the seat. You need to be there with an open mind, an open heart, a tape player, a notepad, and you need to try to get every single nugget you can get. See, that's how you get committed to it. That's how you buy into the mission statement. That's how you become a team player and not an individual. Because let me tell you something. If the correct manager sees you out there, for lack of a better way to say it, wasting your time, and then you come after this event and try to get information, you're probably not going to be the one they spend their time with. And you're going to wonder why. And we're going to get an email, and you're going to say, I can't get anybody to talk to me. My manager won't have anything to do with me. I need a new manager. No, you need to check up. Okay? You just came to an event, and you just tripped your trump card. Okay? I'm not picking on anybody this morning. I'm not trying to rag on you. I'm trying to get you to understand that the difference in commitment and involvement is major. This mission statement is not a game to us. Becoming a team player, those are the people we look for, not individuals, okay? And the people that listen, pay attention, come with heart, I mean, it's all there for you, okay? Now, there's your first step. Second step, work. Let's talk about your work ethics, okay? See, I don't believe in luck. I believe the harder you work, the more fortunate you get. I've never believed in luck. It doesn't just happen. Okay? So when you look at it, let's talk about some of the things that can be important to you in your career. Do you keep a count, a real count, on the number of your calls? How many calls do you make a day? How many calls do you make a week? How many calls do you make a month? Not just picking them up. Now, let's talk about your calls. How many calls do you make? How many dials do you make? How many people do you talk to out of those dials? How many people do you set appointments with out of the ones that you talk to? How many people do you sell out of the appointments that you actually go talk to after you got through the number of dials to set the appointments to get the... You understand what I'm saying? What is your numbers? Do you really keep a count of your numbers? Because, see, if you come to me at the convention and you say, oh, man, it just ain't working. You know, I keep getting this objective and that objective. I'm going to be very nice. I'm going to be very polite. And I'm going to listen to what you're asking me. And then I'm going to ask you some questions. And if you give me the right answers, I'm going to help you the best of my ability. If you give me the wrong answers, I can't help you. Meaning, if I say, well, I understand the objection, and here's how to overcome it, but first, let me ask you something. How many times you heard this objective this week? How many appointments you went on this week? How many people you called this week? How much time, energy, and effort have you spent doing this week? How much time have you been away from the conveniences of things that you really want to do to put time into this to make this work? See, that's what I want to know before I spend my time talking to you. And I'm not saying I. Anybody that you possibly walk up to this weekend, folks, they desperately want to help you. But you got to help them help you. Okay? Now, when it comes to work, here's another thing. Do you travel to help the team? Now, when I say team, folks, we got district leaders, we got managers, we got agency managers, we got master agency builders, you know, we got the owners of the company. We got on and on and on and on. But when it comes down to your team, regardless of how small that team is, are you a team player or are you an individual? And it's easy to find out, folks. There's a lot of questions that can be asked there. You know, I would be a team player if I could have all of my leads in my little county, in my little circle, and the conveniences of this and this and this, yes, and so would everybody else. And that's a perfect world. And, folks, we don't live in a perfect world. You know, I'm hiring now. I'll give you an example. I'm hiring for a receptionist. I had to I lost one. Let me just say it that way. Okay? So we go out to Career Builders, and we put it on, and we get resumes in. Unbelievable. It clearly states that I'm looking for a receptionist. I got engineers asking for $50,000 positions with their company. They're desperate. They're sending in resumes for receptionists and trying. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, there's people out there that are looking for positions desperately. There's companies that are shutting down. There's things going out of business. It's all kinds of things happening all around us. Yet we have people that come into our situation and into our system and say, if it's convenient, I'll do this. But if it's inconvenient, now I don't want to do that. See what I'm saying? Now, your managers need to be saying, that's okay. We love you. We appreciate you. Next. I have a saying, SOB. Slide over, baby. I need another one. Okay? Now, is that cold-hearted? No, it's not cold-hearted. There's so many hours in a day. There's so many days in a week. There's so many weeks in a month. And there's so many months in a year. And we can't afford to waste them. Folks, you have to think about it in business. What you do for the next 24 hours, you can't get back. That's time, energy, effort that's either going to be productive or non-productive. And you will never, ever, ever get it back. It's gone forever. So what happened in the last 24 hours in your life? Did something happen productive or non-productive? Okay? That's your work ethic, folks. That's your, you know, if you come to me and you say, I'm applying for a position to make a six-figure income, then sit down right here and fill out my paperwork, because that's exactly what I got to offer you, is a six-figure position, if that's what you asked me for. But let me talk to you a little bit. Six-figure position, okay, only 2% of the people in the country make it. Y'all heard me say it over and over. That means 98% of the people won't make it. Why is that? They're willing to do what 98% of the population isn't willing to do. That's the only way you're going to make six figures. So let me tell you what this position is going to require. I'm going to require you to be at my office every Monday morning. I'm going to pass out your leads on where you're going to go. You're going to license with me in about 8 to 10 states that surround us right here that we can get to within an hour and a half to 2 hours driving or flying time. And you're going to be required to show up and get your assignment and go where I ask you to go on a weekly basis, and I'll guarantee you a six-figure income. Now, folks, that's pretty simple. Okay? But the first time you come through my door and say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I just want something in my backyard. I got to let you go. I got to say to you, we don't have a partnership anymore. We're not aligned together anymore. See, I don't need you coming in my door saying, I'll take leads if they're in my backyard, but I'm tired of traveling. Then you really didn't want to make six figures. You're looking for now another position that somebody's going to give you six figures for not committing, being a team player, understanding the mission statement, not willing to be sold out, not listening, not paying attention. You know what I'm saying? Not being accountable for your numbers. See, all those things. You want to know the difference in the people on this phone, folks, that are winning and losing? It's the things that I'm talking about right now on this telephone. Okay? Talk to the people when you get there this weekend. Talk to the people and let them explain to you how they're hiring people, how the people's attitudes are. See, you start out right, folks, you end up right. Now, I've hit on this one a little bit, but not just work, but productive work, folks. See, you can fool yourself. You can fool your family. You can fool your upline. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, bottom line, you know. You know in your heart of hearts what's going on. And you know that you've been at the office shuffling papers and moving this and avoiding this and talking to people that's comfortable and talking to people in your circle that your comfort zone that's not outside of your comfort zone. See, that's not real productive work. Now, let me hit you on this one, folks, under the work ethic. Ask yourself this question. Are you looking for excuses or are you looking for reasons? Now, let me explain what I mean. You can use a reason as an excuse very easily. Well, I can't do it because of my children. No, you got to do it because of your children. You see the difference, folks? I can't do it because I've got to, whatever, sit with my mother. No, you got to do it so you can afford to pay somebody to sit with your mother, because guess what? There's going to be other expenses to be incurred, and there's going to be other things come up with that situation that you're going to need financing for. Then what are you going to do? See, when the rubber really meets the road, folks, then what are you going to do? Excuses have to become reasons why you do something, not excuses not to do it. You can take every excuse you got and turn it around and make it a reason to do it. I don't care what comes up. It makes no difference what the excuse is. It will become a reason if you choose for it to. Okay? That is up to you. You know, I'm broke, I'm busted, I don't have any money, and I just can't go to the leadership. You know what? You're broke, you're busted, you're disgusted, and you better get your butt somehow, some way, to the leadership if you want to change your life. We have been preaching that it's a life-changing event. Okay? You hear Ralph Simpson get on the phone and say, you know what? I came to a meeting. I saw people coming across the stage getting bonus checks. I envisioned that that was me. And I came back and I got a $200-$300 bonus check. And I got all fired up and excited about that. Well, wait till you see him come across the stage this weekend and get his bonus check. Okay? Now, that's good for Ralph, but I'm still broke and I'm still busted and I'm still disgusted. Okay? Let me tell you something, folks. I don't mean this in an ugly way, and I'm trying to say it as caring as I can say it. But if it's important to you, you will find a way. There's somebody that cares enough about your future. There's somebody somewhere that you can somehow manage to get there. I've been there, folks. I've told a lot of you on this phone my story, and I've been at meetings when I couldn't figure out how I was going to get back home. I've been at meetings when I used the money and was scared I wasn't going to be able to pay my light bill when I got back home. I've been at meetings and came back home and my phone was turned off. Been there, done that. But I had to make my mind up that it was a reason for me to be there, not an excuse not to be. It's just that simple. The next one, under work. Are you goal-oriented, folks? Not just verbally. I'm talking about really down-deep, truthfully goal-driven. Okay? See, I don't talk about it a lot, but I have a couple other things going on the side, and I'm not saying that for any reason. Don't want anybody to misunderstand that statement, but I had to hire a plant manager for one of my plants and blah, 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 blah. But my whole point in saying that is I sat down and I interviewed this guy, and I spent about an hour with him, okay? Then he accepted, blah, 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 blah. Met with him, went over some things, and he said, you know, he said, I figured out real early on with you. He said, you're goal-oriented, and you don't play. And there's things that's important to you, and you got an unbelievable work ethic. And he said, you're going to see that that's me also. I said, that's why I chose you. Okay, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I understand it. Yeah, I believe it. And you're absolutely right. When our goals and our intent and our, it doesn't match, then we don't have a match. So as long as you keep that in mind, we're good to go. But he picked up real quick, in no time flat, all of that from a conversation having it with me. Okay? That's important, folks, when you're talking to people and working with people. Are you truly goal-oriented? All right? You know, I talk about it all the time when it comes to dieting or, you know, the things that we do in our day-to-day life. It is what it is, folks. I made up my mind. You're going to see when I get to the conference. I'm not saying it for any other reason than to say it. I made up my mind 2 weeks ago that, you know what, I got to lose some weight. I put on some weight. I put on about 30 pounds in the last 4 years. I didn't like it. My pants weren't fitting right. My shirt. So I made up my mind. I said, okay, I'm going on a diet. My wife said, all right, you're going on a diet. 2 weeks later, folks, I lost 18 pounds now. You say, my gosh, if I could do that. It's goal-oriented, folks. You know, I go out to eat. I order a salad. I get some baked chicken on it. Grilled chicken on the top of it. They bring all these rolls and bread and butter and all it, and I order water. And there's no tea. And you say, well, man, that's tough. Well, it's tough, but you want to lose 18 pounds or not? You want to lose 20 pounds, 30 pounds or not? Are you goal-oriented? Can you actually make up your mind and say, you know what? Come heck or high water, this is going to happen. Folks, that's your work ethic. That's everything that I'm talking about right now in this one little section. Keeping count of your numbers, being willing to travel, being willing to be a team player. You know what? If you say, well, my manager's asking me to travel, and I just don't think that's right. He's not traveling. He's not doing this. Trust me. He's done it. He's been there, done that. He's not asking you to do something he didn't do. He's not from the leaders of this company all the way down, folks. We've been where you're at. And you know how we got to where we're at? By doing the things that we're asking you to do. And either you're a team player or you're not. And that's who he's looking for. That's who she's looking for. The real productive work. You know, looking for reasons, not excuses. Goal-oriented. Focus. Locked in. You know, making it happen. I mean, I talk about goals and I talk about, I mean, we're undefeated. I got two softball teams. And last night I'm on the field out there with them and I'm coaching from the dugout and I'm hollering at them. And I mean, they batting, they hitting, they scoring runs. I mean, everything's great. Well, then they go out there and the infield is catching balls, making outs, everything's working perfect. And all of a sudden, the team hits a couple to the outfield and my outfielders look like they didn't show up. They floundering around, flopping around, missing the ball. Next thing you know, the team scores three runs and five runs and six runs and eight runs. And I'm like, guys, come here, come here. Come here, let's get in the huddle, guys. Come on. You're batting good. The infield's playing good. But as a team, we stink right now. They're scoring eight runs on us. What's up with that? We need to switch you up. What's the matter with you? Why can't you play in the outfield tonight? Well, my neck's hurting. Well, why didn't you tell somebody your neck was hurting? Put him at catcher. Put somebody else out there. We got an injured player here. He's done missed two plays. It's not like him. They scored five runs off of those two plays. See what I'm saying, folks? Make a call. Make a difference. Make something happen. Or it ain't going to happen, okay? Number three, change your buying habits and your selling habits. Now, folks, I'm going to spend a little time on this one. I've seen some emails go out, and I've seen some people answer some emails, and I've seen some people answer them in what I would consider the wrong way. Individuals, do you sell team products that support the team? And not only support the team, help the individuals that you're trying to help. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. We see a lot of people that say, well, I'm a professional insurance agent, and I have to do the best thing for my client, and I have to look at price, and I have to make sure that I'm not screwing them with this expensive home certain product and blah, 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 blah. And just so I can get a paycheck, I don't believe in that. And just so my manager can get a bonus, I don't believe. And, folks, if you think we say the things we say just so your manager can get a bonus and just so you can get a paycheck and just no, you're missing the boat. Folks, I believe in the marketplace. If I didn't believe it with everything in me, I wouldn't say it. The marketplace that we go into, Middle America, the HomeCertain product is the best product overall for probably 95% of the people we sit down at the kitchen table. And I say home certain, meaning strong foundation, mortgage protection, whatever. The home certain look-alike, folks. You can go in there with that cheap term if you want to. You can go in there trying to undercut somebody's prices. If you're selling by price, you're selling the wrong way for what we do. This is a lead sale. These are people that have asked you to come in. These are people that possibly have a little bit of a blood pressure problem. You can't see it on the surface. Their cholesterol might be out of balance a little bit. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you open them up and you subject them to fully underwritten products, you watch what happens. That cheap term is going to be fully underwritten. It's going to get rated, and they're going to turn the policy down and not take it. You're much better off to go in with a product that's simplified, that gets issued, that gets put on the books, that gets put away in a nice, safe place, and the client is happy. Okay? You got to remember this, folks. You're not buying the product. You're selling the product. We're not asking you to pay the premium. We're asking you to do the right thing for the client. You say, well, the right thing for the client is always the cheapest. Oh, yeah? You really believe that? Look around in your house. Is everything you got in your house the cheapest you could find? You got the cheapest mattress you could go out and find? Or did you buy a decent mattress so you can get a good night's sleep? You riding the cheapest car with the cheapest wheels, the cheapest tires, no sunroof, no radio, no CD player? Is that what you're driving? I don't think so. Is that what your clients are driving? I don't think so. Folks, people will pay for a value. You got to understand that. People will pay for a value. Now, when it comes to supporting the team, folks, if we're selling the wrong products 80% of the time and they're not getting issued and we're having to pay the lead cost, subsidize the lead cost, the company subsidize the lead cost, you're hurting the whole efforts towards the mission statement of building a number one premier marketing organization to serve Middle America. We got to stay in business to be in business. You got to make money to stay in business. How are you going to be the number one insurance agent in your town or your city if you broke, disgusted, and busted and have to go out of business because you can't make a living selling the wrong products? How are you going to help somebody? So you can tell me it's for the client, but no, it's for you because you ain't figured out how to sell the right product. You're comparing price to price. That's not what we do. You're not part of the team. You're not listening. You're not on the conference calls. You're not getting the MP3s. You're not paying attention to the leaders when they speak. When you get them on here, I trust you. All of them's got a heart as big as outdoors. Will they talk about commissions and income and money? Yeah, they'll talk about that. To get you excited, they'll talk about that. But down deep, they care. Every single one of them cares. And they care about the clients. And the right product for this particular market is that product. Okay? Now, let's talk a little bit about the benefits of Foresters. You know, we have people on this call say, well, I don't sell that product. I just sell for one company because it's simple, it's easy, it's not confusing, and I just want to sell for one company. But I want to sell the cheapest term because I want to do the best thing for my client. Folks, let me tell you, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth when you say that. Okay? You want to do the best for your client, but you want to do it with one company. But do you know that there's benefits with Foresters that you don't get with any other company? We've talked about them, the fraternal side. You're going to hear about them, but you got to understand them. You got to understand what's going on. There's a critical illness rider on that. It's free. That gives them up to $4,000 if they become critically ill that no other company has. There's orphan benefits for the children if something happens. There's income provided for the children if one of the breadwinners is out of the picture. There's all kinds of things on that policy that come free. Okay? But you want to do the best thing for your client, so you're selling one product with one company, and it's not even the right product. It's just a cheap term because price is the issue. No, people will buy value. Got to understand it in order to sell it. Got to be a part of the team in order to understand it. Got to be committed to what we're all about in order to deliver the message. And it's a strong message going out right now, folks, that those are the people we're looking for. Those are the people we're supporting. Those are the people we're working with our managers to support. Be one of those people for your sake, not mine. Next, under change your buying and selling habits, do you own your life the companies that we represent? See, folks, you can't fake it till you make it. It's not that kind of business. See, you need the products on your family. One of the best-selling techniques that I've ever learned in my business career is to be able to answer the client honestly and say, this is what I own in my own life. Okay? I have a home certain. All right? People say, well, man, I'm going to stop listening to him because he done bought one of them things. You know what? I've got one. Okay? I've got one. And I got it for a reason. Specifically for the mortgage. That's what I got it for. Now, do I have some other protection? Yeah, I got millions. I'm probably the $10 million man when it comes to insurance. Okay? But I've got products from several companies that we represent. How about you? Can you reach in your briefcase and pull it out and say, this is what I got on me. This is what I got on my children. This is what I have on my grandchildren. Let me show you how it works. Folks, you don't think that'll change your selling habits? Trust me, that'll change them. That'll change them. Okay? Are you adding policies to your family? I mean, I just added some. You know what I'm saying, folks? Our needs change too, folks. How can you go out here and be on this mission and not update your own situation, folks? Talk to Fitz. I guarantee you, he's got a different perspective on life after that young man was born than he had before. He thought he knew, but now he knows. It ain't no doubt. I guarantee you he looks at things different today when it comes to insurances and finances and commitment. He was already committed. Now he's probably insanely committed. Okay? It's just that simple, folks. All right? How about Kit? See, I could talk, you know, Pam, I mean, I could talk all day on this one. Kit, keep in touch. Folks, if you're not a part of that, change your habits immediately. Immediately. I don't understand how you could come in to a manager's office with any kind of complaint if you're not on Kit. Well, I don't have enough lead. Are you on Kit? No. Give me somebody else to talk to. How many people do you know, folks? How many people do you know that are middle America that need what we got, that you don't want to just go up or make a phone call or drop by their house or, you know, talk to them about it at a barbecue or whatever the case may be, but that you could put them into our Keep in Touch program and we could send a professional letter out with your picture on it that states you're working in a new business, you have something to offer, and you'd like to sit down and talk with them. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to call you up, they're going to email you, they're going to come see you next time you're at the barbecue. I didn't realize, Philip, you was a part of something like that. You really need, when can you come over and sit down with me and my wife and see what you can do for us? They're going to set the appointment for you. Folks, we got examples of it. Stay on the email. Read what's happening. It's happening every single day. Numerous times a day that people are getting called, people are getting emailed, people are asked to come over and take care of the situation because they're putting them into their Kit program. And for pennies, I'm literally talking pennies. It's we're making it available to you. Okay, we're trying to do everything possible. Now, number four, folks, association. Who you are and who you become is who you associate with. Boy, that's a powerful statement right there. Let me tell you something. Powerful statement. Powerful statement. You want to learn how to be broke? Hang around broke people. You want to learn how to use the unemployment system? Hang around people who use that one. You want to learn how to beat the system on food stamps? Hang around that one. Am I being cruel today? No, ma'am. No, sir, I'm not. There's situations with elderly people, disabled people, that those programs, thank God for them. And they help those people. And that's what it was designed for. But it wasn't designed for somebody to beat the system. It wasn't designed for somebody to sit around and say, I'm not willing to do all the things that he's talking about today, so I'll just figure out the angle, and I'll beat the system, and I'll let the system take care of me. And there are people that do that, folks, and shame on them. And you associate with those people, you become those people. See, let me tell you something. You can't take a thoroughbred, folks, and put him out in a pasture with a bunch of jackasses and expect him to spend time out there for months and months and months and come back and win the daggone Kentucky Derby. He ain't going to do it. He's going to pick up the habits of the things around him. And just vice versa, you take a jackass and put him in with a bunch of thoroughbreds, he still ain't going to win the Kentucky Derby, but I guarantee you one thing, after a while, he's going to walk a little different. He's going to strut a little different. He's going to start to pick up habits with them, too. You know what I'm saying? So bottom line, folks, you become who you associate with. Think about that. I have family members that I love to death. And at reunions and at, you know, once a year at Christmas time or something, I mean, that's it for me. I'm sorry. I'm not being cold. But there's nothing in common. And I get so tired of hearing the complaints and the excuses and this. And then I get tired of hearing, well, you're lucky. And boy, if I could have done what you done, you know, you want to hit people in the mouth when they say that. You work as hard as I did on the things I'm talking about now and then call me lucky. Okay? Folks, we ain't got no lucky people on this phone. Fitz ain't lucky. The sucker's doing what we're talking about doing right here. Ralph Simpson ain't lucky. Okay? That ain't it. You know, we got a guy on Robert Michelle's team, his name is Lucky, okay? That sucker ain't lucky neither. He works as hard as anybody I know, but that's his name, all right? But, folks, who do you associate with? Who do you put yourself around? Who do you listen to? Now, second one on that. This is a pretty tough one. Do you talk to managers with rings on their fingers or not? See, here's the problem, folks. I don't care who you go up and ask a question to, everybody's got a daggum opinion. Now, that opinion can be good or bad. It can be right or wrong. It can help you or it can hurt you, but everybody's got an opinion. You got to be careful who you get opinions from. Is it people making money? Is it people making a difference in people's lives? Is it people that's producing unbelievable managers and leaders and people that are flying around the country and really honed in on this mission statement and really sold out to the deal? Or is it people that just show up and walk around and strut and try to look good and smell good and want to give somebody opinion? See, I don't want that opinion. I want the opinion from the people that are making it happen. That are making it happen. You know, I'll give you a good example. And I promise you, folks, this is a great example. Probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, maybe 2 years ago now, some things happened. We had the Hudgens system going. We had this happening. We had a meeting in Atlanta, and I'll never forget it. And Ralph Simpson came up, and Fitzgerald, and they were nervous, and they had something that they had started, and they called it the Simplicity System, and they had taken off from this one and done this and done that, and they were just a little nervous about putting this thing out, folks. But you know what? Their numbers weren't nervous, and their results were very loud. And when they started talking, we listened, and we paid attention. And their numbers overruled any opinions that we might have had. And, folks, I think it was a pivotal time in our meeting, in our business, in our careers, when we listened to what took place that particular meeting. Okay? But you know what? We could not have heard them if their numbers had not been so loud. The proof was in the pudding. So you could have the greatest opinions in the world, folks, but until you put them to work, and until you get some results, understand people are not going to listen to you. That's not a bad thing. It just is what it is. Make it happen. Make it happen. And pay attention to the people that have the opinions that are making it happen. Okay? Now, next, association. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Are you at all the conventions? Are you on all the conference calls? Do you read the recommended books? Do you get the MP3s? Do you plug them in and listen to them? Do you pay attention to what they're saying? Do you really listen to them with an open heart? Or do you just get them and half-heartedly listen to them, half-heartedly read it, never follow up on it, just catch your conference calls when it's maybe a catchy title on, just catch it when it's convenient, when you don't have an appointment, just come to the convention that you possibly think might have something for you? Folks, it's all or nothing. It's commitment or involvement. We started with that, and we came full circle to that. Okay? You got to understand. Now, I understand it's probably gradual. I understand that we got some brand new people on the phone. They're saying, this guy's insane. It's the first time I've been on a phone call. I just got my license, and he's talking about stuff. You know what? It's time for you to hear that stuff. Right now. You can't do the right thing wrong. So I'm telling you, day one, make it happen. Day one, take these four basics. Number one, listen. Number two, work. Number three, change your buying habits and your selling habits. And number four, association. Take those four principles, folks, and the things and the examples and the things that I've said today, and folks, I want you to become a member of the team, not an individual. I want you to be the one that when it gets down to fourth and goal, you're the one the coach calls out on the field and puts the ball in your hand because he knows you're the one going to make it happen. See, that's how you play the game, folks. That's how you come through in a clutch. You know, think about it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. With a front line like we got, we have so many people we can go to and put the ball in their hands because they're going to get the job done. What a feeling. What a group. What a team. See, how would you like to build that for you, your organization, and your family? You know what? You can do that, but you got to, number one, be a follower before you can ever be a leader. You got to be willing to do the things that you're asked to do in order to get the respect from other people when you ask them to do it. It's just that simple. Okay? So with that said, folks, I don't think I have a ton of calls here, I don't believe. I'm getting some good comments in from some of my people. That's good. It's a new world now. You the man, Fitz. You are the man. Okay, guys, I do appreciate your time. Our time's about up. I hope you'll take that to heart. I hope you will be at the leadership conference this weekend. I hope you'll be there with these principles instilled in you and bring an open mind, pay attention, be committed, be seated, be attentive, be at the right place at the right time. Don't be outside when the nuggets are dropped and you miss them. All the things that we've talked about today, folks, hope and pray you'll take it to heart and it works for you. Look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. I know we have a manager's meeting at 12:30, another call at 1. And then for most of you on here, we will see you Thursday at the playground. And this weekend, we're going to rock the house. You guys have a great one, and we'll see you this weekend.